It is Tuesday night. That means it's Notre Dame football interview nights, and we had a timely coach coming in today, Al Washington, a former Boston College player, and of course now we are previewing Navy, and Al Washington's defensive line will be paramount in this contest. We also had Josh Burnham, Adon Schuler, surprise guest Leonard Moore, and Eli Raridan, he of the no touchdown catches. And John Bryce, before we get started, because I want to remind everybody, this is the Irish Illustrated Instant Analysis brought to you by the RV Manufactured Housing Hall of Fame and Northern Indiana Event Center in Elkhart, Indiana, which is that way. John Bryce, a lot of people asked Eli Raridan about his no touchdown catches, which you can do because he's otherwise having a very good year.
Yeah, I think, just in my limited exposure, he was asked by four different people. He was a great sport about it, much like he's been a great sport about not having a touchdown reception all this year. I joked with him if there was a competition that we didn't know about between the tight ends and the wide receivers for the best downfield blocking. Is there a secret trophy? He said no, but he kind of liked that idea. So maybe we will spawn yet another trophy for Notre Dame's expansive trophy collection from rivalry games and what have you. But Eli Raridan said, just look, as long as we're scoring touchdowns, I really don't care. You can tell they take a great deal of pride in being the guys that spring loose some of those. He acknowledged USC played it perfectly, or he would have gotten that first touchdown against the Trojans last month than Notre Dame's 10-point win there. But he's also healthier than he's ever been this deep into the season. He said it gives him an appreciation, especially for a guy like Josh Burnham and what he's going through and playing through to be out there and playing at a very high level. But he also just really credited a lot to Lauren Lando and said, his impact on me is why I'm this healthy.
Tim Priester, you guaranteed it, Eli Raridan touchdown.
I did. I told him. Okay, and I was probably the fifth guy that asked him about not scoring and being targeted against USC.
I was the sixth, and I mentioned he has assists by getting them into the red zone because he has had a heck of a year in between the 40-yard lines. He's been a huge weapon going down the seams and to the corner, of course, for C.J. Carr. We also had brief moments, especially Drew Mentock had some time with Adon Schuler, and I think there's two takeaways there, Tim, that are notable. One, sitting out the first half of Purdue and how tough that was for him. And number two, a stat he did not know about, but he has a pretty big part in.
Yeah, Notre Dame now leads the country in interceptions with 16. They've been piling them up in the last month.
Missing the Purdue game.
Missing the Purdue game. Since the first 10 quarters of the season, the defense has been outstanding. And it started when he came back in the lineup. And I don't think it's a coincidence. A lot of other good things are happening. Certainly, the defensive line is putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. But it started with Schuler. And that is not a coincidence because he is a leader back there. And the safety play has gotten better and better. Tay Johnson has been good. Luke Telich was outstanding again against Boston College. But I don't think it's a coincidence. I think his spot back in the lineup has been a huge part of Notre Dame's surge on the defensive side of the ball.
You know, it's fascinating to hear Adon Schuler talk about how much pain he was in to miss that first half of the Purdue game, how much better they've played, especially when you couple that with Drew Mentock's note earlier this week about Tay Johnson and how he's watching a minimum of 45 minutes of extra film per night, and then you see those two guys and how well they're playing together. You're not surprised by that. Adon Schuler, very quick, once he learned they led the nation in interceptions, very quick to give all credit to Notre Dame's defensive line, which has vastly improved in recent weeks, and as we noted, had 12 TFLs last weekend.
Pete Sampson and I were actually asking a lot of questions about film today. We might have been on the same storyline, but Leonard Moore gave the best answer, I think. He's mentioned that on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, he gets all the concepts, game plan, everything he needs. Thursday and Friday, he just absolutely digs in on the opponent. He tries to watch an entire game of the receiver he is going against to get nuances, and Sampson asked him, do you ever get any Easter eggs from that for Saturday? He said, every single week. Leonard Moore, a student of the game as a sophomore, he mentioned last year I had a veteran to show me stuff in BMO. I don't have a veteran this year, so he is showing himself stuff. Yeah. He is the veteran now.
Yeah, well, he's got to cram this week because they're playing option football, and he said he never played against it in high school, and he was a little bit lost early on last year, but we know what kind of football player he is, and of course he will adapt. But he's a key. We don't know about Christian Gray's availability this week. And he's a guy that's played against the Navy offense quite a bit. So, they're going to need Leonard Moore not only to step up as a pass defender, which he's always ready to do, but as a run defender as well.
I spent a lot of time with Leonard Moore, actually, and we asked – one of the questions I had for him was, what was it like going to cover the slot for the first time, Mekhi Lemon? He's like, You know, it was, I had a feeling they were going to ask me to do it. It was something I thought I could do. And he said, other than there's a lot more space. He kind of liked it. I mentioned that some guys in the NFL make a pretty healthy living doing that as well, JB.
Yeah, and Leonard Moore will make a healthy living in the NFL, but he won't be able to do that until 2027 because he's just a true sophomore. But that was, we talk about teach tape. That was showcase tape. What he did against USC, what he continues to put on tape every week, him acknowledging that he's finding Easter eggs by his own film study, all that stuff is only going to further enhance his already considered NFL draft profile.
By the way, Tim, he didn't think that he committed interference on the touchdown.
He said he stunk
on that particular, play. He told me he slipped, but he also didn't think it was pass interference. But that was a good receiver. That's Reed Harris. He's a good football player, and he beat him. But he doesn't, obviously, he does not expect that to happen to him often. I asked him if that was something that he brought with him from high school, if he learned it here. And he said, yeah, I was confident coming from high school. But then you come here, and you have success, and you have success against quality competition. Naturally, you're going to really start believing in yourself and your abilities.
He said his regret was he didn't make it hard on the receiver as he went down, as he started to fall. And also, I asked him on the flip side, because I asked him to break down that play on film, since he's now a film maven. I said, what is your best game on film? And I think every writer there mentioned, was it Penn State, was it Ohio State? He said he thought Indiana last year because they kept targeting him, and he said Boise State this year. I found that interesting because he would know more than we would about what his best game was. But I did not spend time with Josh Burnham. You guys did. Josh Burnham is, of course, breakout game for his season. He did not need a breakout game for his career. He's had plenty of those. But as Coach L. Washington said, he even had a sack they took away from him.
Yeah, and Josh Burnham, just the maybe the ultimate example, at least this week, for the selflessness in Marcus Freeman's team glory approach. And it was not an accident on Monday when Marcus Freeman said Josh Burnham's a guy that at 75% he wants to be out there, and you kind of have to hold him back from himself because that's the competitor he is. And you can read between the lines and figure out there's some people that are probably – at 100% that Marcus Freeman would like to see playing, and they're not. So Josh Burnham just said, look, it's always been that way. I said, did you have anything of that significance that you ever had to battle through in high school? And he said, no, probably a rolled ankle was the worst I dealt with in high school, but I absolutely played through it.
He played a great game, obviously, Saturday against Boston College. And he did say now that he does feel that he's 100%. Mm-hmm. But the reason, part of the reason, and Al Washington confirm this, part of the reason why he's played at 75% is he wants to get on the damn field. Yeah. And Marcus Freeman admitted, and Al Washington admitted, that there has been some frustration not getting on the field more. So if he's 75%, 65%, he wants to get out there.
And a healthy frustration. I think that's important to note, is like he has harnessed that frustration into wanting to be on the field and wanting to contribute for his team and his teammates. And Al Washington very much driving home the point, 1,000% you want guys like Josh Burnham in your program. You want to see players setting that example. And he said specifically, Josh Burnham embodies team glory. He's testament to the culture that Marcus Freeman has built.
Spoke with Al Washington about Navy, of course, because of the extra challenge that comes in with facing a triple option with wrinkles, the millennial wing T, and Tim Priester. I think we should start with, though, the unselfishness of Notre Dame's defensive linemen, not only this week, but this season so far, something Al Washington says he's never seen before.
Well, not only young defensive linemen like Sean Sevillano, but, I mean, guys like Junior Tui Alamaka actually volunteering to run show team offensive line. I think that's pretty
Jason
incredible.
Onye as well.
Jason Onye as
Jared
well.
Jared Dawson as well.
Yeah. I want to, if I could real quickly, jump back to Burnham about the face mask penalty that never was. He laughed about it. He knew that it was not a face mask penalty. I asked him, because a lot of the commentary on TV was about, did you grab underneath the back of the helmet? And that wasn't the case. And then a bunch of people walked away, and we ended up talking about it with Al Washington. He confirmed it. The officials or somebody from the officiating crew came to the Notre Dame locker room, I presume, after the game or on the field, and told them it shouldn't have been called. It wasn't a face mask. How in the world do you call face mask if you didn't actually see it, because it never happened?
Well, I mean, the angle, as Tim O'Malley said, from the press box, there was a collective, oh, that's a face mask. So it looked like a face mask.
The ref was a little closer than you guys.
The ref was closer. You see the hand go up, you see the head, and you make an assumption right there. And that's what happened. That's why I think, not to have anyone call me Dabo Sweeney here, who went on his rant today about accountability for officials because Clemson got fined $10,000 thanks to Dabo. But I do think face masks, now that there's no incidental face masks, they're all 15 yards and an automatic first down. It could be reviewable like targeting. If you're going to review targeting and you know there's a question about a face mask, why not be able to say it's a buzz down, and you can have the buzz down before the next play snapped.
It's a missable call because you can also grab, of course, the neck roll or the front of the neck, and that has often been called face mask and even pulling right here. Cool. Most important with Al Washington, it's Navy week, and he mentioned it can be a very slow bleed if you don't start talking, if you don't stop them right away, and they will bleed you out. I thought that was a good way of putting it.
And is that what you said to him? He said, yeah, that's what I've said to my defensive lineman. Look, he talked about, and this is true, and we all know this, you can play 99 plays well defensively against an offense like Navy's, and then one play can blow it up. And look, this is a real veteran Navy team, and I know they didn't play well last year, but all of those key components, many of which screwed up against Notre Dame last year, they're back. They're seniors, and they're going to be ready to play against Notre Dame this year.
And I thought real quickly, one interesting thing that Al Washington sort of peeled back in Notre Dame's preparation, and we hear it every week, like, do your job. You're one of 11. All 11 players do their job. But Al Washington really hammered home the point that this week, you got to know what the guy next to you is doing, but you cannot focus on anything other than doing your job and your task on every single play. And so I think that's the mindset. Yeah, you got to know that the guy next to you's got your back and you've got his back, but you can't focus on anything except the man in front of you.
You know, very quickly, guys, I was sitting here trying to think of, because we discussed with Al what it's like to have veterans playing against the option, of course, and you'll have four linebackers that played last year. You'll have both corners, Adon Shuler. Quick quiz in your head. Donovan Heinisch played it last year. Jordan Botello sure didn't. Boubacar Traore sure didn't. Jared Dawson sure didn't. Elijah Hughes sure didn't. Gabriel Rubio was great, and he's out of the game.
No doubt.
The defensive line actually is going to be neophytes against the option compared to the back seven.
Except for the ends. I mean, Tui Alamaka has played success. It. Burnham has. Botello has. Jason Onye had two tackles against them 2 years ago.
I was going to say Botello must have been a couple years ago, too, because he wasn't in there as well. I find that interesting because we just assumed that across the board it was experience, but could be a little first or second series adjustments for some of those guys, although it seems like Jared Dawson would be a guy that could play this role very well.
You would think with his quickness and the way he moves there, both he and Elijah Hughes, what can they do against it? But it's a whole new animal for a bunch of those guys that are suddenly playing very key roles on a down-in, down-out basis for the Notre Dame defensive
line. Maybe they can call back Alohi Gilman with his "they will fight you for every blade of grass" speech, because that seemed to work in his years with Notre Dame. We'll be back on Thursday to talk more about Navy, about all things Notre Dame football. Until then, for Tim Priester of Irish Illustrated, John Bryce of Football Scoop, I'm Tim O'Malley. This has been Irish Illustrated Instant Analysis, brought to you by the RV Manufactured Housing Hall of Fame and Northern Indiana Event Center in Elkhart, Indiana.